Well, once again, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for your very warm welcome. It's a delight to, it really is a delight to be with you this morning. Let me invite you to take your Bible, if you have a Bible with you, to and turn with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. We're going to be looking at the first words of verse 15, but I want to start a little further back at verse 9. And it will be very clear from verses 9 and following that King David is going through a very difficult time indeed. He prays, verses 9 and following, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my tears with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, as an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life." You see how hard things are for David. But, verse 14, "I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand." Well, what David says here in verse 14, each of us who is a Christian can say, "You are my God." Our sin had separated us from God. It had broken the relationship, the beautiful relationship that we humans enjoyed at the beginning. But through the shedding of Jesus' blood and the work of the Holy Spirit, the separation has ended. The God who has made us for himself is in Christ now our God. He has made with us an everlasting covenant. He has bound us to his heart forever. And that is why, if we are Christians, we can make it as personal as David himself here. We can look up into God's face and say, "You are my God." Now, according to verse 15, the God who has taken us to be his own has our times in his hand. David says, "My times are in your hand." And every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can say the same. "My times too are in your hand." And that's what I want us to think about for a little this morning. The believer's times in God's hand. Our task is to take David's words here and endeavor to learn from them. And in order to do that, we're going to be thinking about what they mean, what they imply, and what they should do. But before we take up the first of these, I want to set these beautiful words in a particular frame. I want you to imagine that you're given a cross-stitch of the wording of this morning's text. "My times are in your hand." And the cross-stitch is given to you already framed. When you look at it, you see it in its frame. Well, there is a particular frame in which we are going to set these words this morning, and that is the frame of the character of God. Our response to the truth expressed in these words here is utterly dependent upon the character of God. Who is this God who has taken us to be his own, who has our times in his hand, who is shaping and determining all the events and circumstances of our lives? Well, the answer to that question will determine whether these words of David are settling or unsettling, comforting or alarming, words that will speak peace to us, which are fitted to throw us into a panic. It matters what God is like. So what is he like? Well, I think to begin with, of how wise he is. The God of the Bible is most wise. According to the book of Job, he is mighty in wisdom. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, speaks about the manifold wisdom of God. In Romans 16, he describes him as the only wise God. And in his letter to the Colossians, he says that in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. There is no one in all the universe who is wiser than our God. And that is the God who has our times in his hand. And then I think of how strong he is. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. That is the God of the Bible, a God for whom nothing is too hard, a God who can do all that he wants to do, all that he is pleased to do, all that he has promised to do. Omnipotent is the classic word, all-powerful. And then I think of how loving he is and what a commentary we have on that in the cross of Calvary. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now there is, of course, immeasurably more that we could say when it comes to the character of God. But let these three things suffice as a frame within which to place the words of our text. How wise God is, how strong God is, how loving he is. Jesus, strong and kind, too wise to be mistaken, he too good to be unkind. That is the character of the God who has our times in his hand. That is the God who is ours in Jesus Christ, if we are believers, our divine Savior. Our times, to bring Christ into the heart of it, our times are in the hands of the crucified. They are in his pierced hands. And who more wise, more strong, more loving than he? Well, with that as our frame, let's turn now for a little to David's words. And we begin with what these words mean. My times are in your hand, says David. What does he mean? What's in his mind? Or to broaden the question, this is God-breathed truth. Our times are in God's hand. What meaning would God have us place upon these words? What is in his mind? Well, the answer can be put very straightforwardly. By our times is meant the events and circumstances of our lives. All the things that are happening to us. All the things that are shaping and determining things in our lives. And when it is said that these times are in God's hand, the psalmist means that they are under his control and direction. God is the one who is in control. God is the one who is at the helm of our lives. God is the one who is steering the vessel. Now here in Psalm 31, verse 15, the times in question are troubled times, dark times. We heard that in the reading from verses 9 and following. The vessel of David's life here is passing through a storm. But it's not just troubled times that are in God's hands. This statement here is true of all of our times. It is true, for example, of the first of our times. God is the arranger of the times and circumstances of our birth. I wonder how many of you know the hymn by John Ryland that begins like this: Sovereign Ruler of the Sky, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. And then he begins with the first of our times: his decree, who formed the earth, fixed my first and second birth, parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him. It's the teaching of the Bible. The first of our times are in God's hand. So to the last of our times, Ryland continues, he that formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. All my times shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with us. The events and circumstances of our life do not pass out of his hand when we come to the end of our times. They are as much in control, his control, as the first of our times. And there's a beautiful verse that we sing as the sixth and last verse: plagues and deaths around me fly, till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit. So the first of our times are in his hand, and the last of our times are in his hand, and so is everything in between. This is a whole of life thing. Whether they're dark or bright, joyful or sorrowful, or the usual mix of the two, our times are ever in God's hands. They come, they last, they end, with their laughter and tears, with their loss and gain, as he sovereignly determines. Times of sickness, times of health, times of poverty and wealth, times of trial and of grief, times of triumph and relief, times the tempter's power to prove, times to taste a Saviour's love, all must come and last and end, as shall please my heavenly friends. So we thought about what David's words mean. And you see immediately how all important is this frame within which the words have been placed. Who is this God who sovereignly determines how our days unfold, who is in charge and is determining all things from the beginning all the way through to the end? The Bible is at pains to impress upon us how wise he is, how strong he is, and how loving he is. Well, let's think now in the second place about what these words imply. We thought a little bit about what they mean. Let's turn in the second place to what these words imply. There are a number of things that we can infer from this great truth that our times are in God's hand. And the first is that nothing happens merely by chance. We sometimes speak about chance occurrences or chance events. It just so happened that as I was walking down this particular street, I bumped into so-and-so and we had this conversation that was so helpful to me. It's one of those chance occurrences. That's how we think and that's how we speak. And I would not want to condemn that language, not least because of what Jesus says in the parable of the Good Samaritan. By chance, a priest was going down that road. the road that led from Jerusalem to Jericho. By chance, we would say the same. From a human point of view, it's one of these unplanned, unexpected, perhaps out of the blue coincidences. And so long as that's all that we mean by that language, chance is a perfectly fine word to use. What we must never forget, what we must always insist on, that no coincidence is a mere coincidence. Nothing happens simply by chance, as if there was no one who was ordering the events of our lives, as if there were no guiding and determining hand. There is. Here's one of the Bible's illustrations at that point, the casting of the lot. Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. The contemporary equivalent, I suppose, would be throwing dice. How arbitrary that all seems, how much a chance occurrence, whether it's a double six that comes up or something else. It is God who determines what happens when the lot is cast or the dice are cast. And so it is with everything that happens in the course of our lives. Our times are in His hand. What does that imply? Nothing happens merely by chance. There are no mere coincidences. No, He is the one who is ordering all events. Here's something else that David's words imply. We are not at the mercy of some kind of fate. By fate, I'm thinking about some blind, impersonal, non-moral force or mechanism that determines everything that will be. The English novelist Thomas Hardy called it the immanent will. And there is nothing that we can do to escape from it. We are inexorably in its grip. And if we are destined to be crushed by it, then crushed we will be. And if you have ever read Thomas Hardy's novel, Tess of the D'Urbervilles, you will know how harrowingly that is illustrated. But it's not the teaching of the Bible. It's not the teaching of this morning's text. Our times as believers are in God's hands, and God is not blind. God is not impersonal. God is not non-moral. He is all-seeing, ever-living, most wise and loving and strong and kind and good. So we infer from David's words that nothing happens merely by chance. We infer from David's words that we are not at the mercy of some kind of blind and personal fate. Thirdly, we infer from his words that we are not at the mercy of the evil one. You believe in him, don't you? He's no cartoon character, though that is how he is often depicted. He is real, he's active, he's powerful, and he's unfathomably wicked. And so many of the dark things that happen in our world are directly traceable to him. And how soberingly the Bible illustrates that. The sufferings of Job, for example, were the outflow of his malice. Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. When he couldn't return to his beloved Thessalonians, it was because Satan had stopped him. Read through the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Who is the persecutor of God's people? It is Satan. He was our Saviour's tempter, and he is our tempter too, and he is immeasurably stronger and cleverer than we are. But he does not have our times in his hand. The events and circumstances of our lives are not ultimately in his control. It is God who is in control. He is the one who is at the helm. Satan is always subject to him and never the other way around. And then one last thing that we can infer from our text. Our times are not in the hands of other people. And that is the emphasis of the text. What are David's enemies doing? They're whispering. They're scheming. They're plotting to take his life. It's a dangerous time. What's his comfort? My times are in your hand. He says, not theirs, yours. His life was under the control and protection of his God. And so are yours. And so are mine. It is never our fellow human beings who finally determine how things will be with us, however powerful they may be. Whether it's the outcome of a trial in a court of law, or what happens when we apply for a job, or what happens when we go into a battle in wartime, or when we are facing surgery, or whether there's an attempt to manipulate us through magic, it is never people who ultimately decide the final decision. It's always God's, because our times are in his hand. So we thought about what David's words mean. My times are in your hand. All of the events and circumstances of our lives are being ordered by him. And we thought about what these words imply. Nothing happens merely by chance. We're not at the mercy of some kind of fate. Nor are we at the mercy of the evil one. Our times are not in the hands of other people. Ever are our times in the hands of our most wise and most strong and most loving God. And then there's a third and final matter to which I want to draw your attention, and it is this. What these words should do. And what they should do is this. They should cause us to say, how blessed I am. Here I am. And this so wise and so strong and so loving God, of whom I read in the Bible, he has taken me to be his own. And he has my times in his hand. How blessed I am. We may say it, for example, as we think about life as a whole. You're someone with money, someone with connection, someone with influence, and he takes a very deep interest in a couple of orphan children. And he gives them a home, he gives them an education, he sets them up in life, he loves them, and you think to yourself, well, that's great, and it is. But here is something infinitely better. Our sin had made us outcasts, estranged sons and daughters of God, haters of God. And that sin had exposed us to his righteous displeasure. It had made us justly the objects of his wrath. And yet, how he has interested himself in us. Cared for us, loved us, provided for us, changed us by his grace, and is working everything together for our good. And none of it an afterthought. It has been his plan from eternity. The God with whom we are having to do this morning is the God who, if we are believers, loved us before the foundation of the earth, and every moment of every day is at work in our lives, bringing his purposes to fruition. Our times, from first to last, in his hands. Isn't it a marvelous thing that there should be this whole of life commitment on the part of God to each and every one of his people, that we should be his loved ones, his chosen ones, every day guarding us and guiding us and overruling all circumstances of our lives for good. It's a grand sight, an inspiring sight, a humbling sight. Say to yourself, how blessed I am that this most wise and strong and loving God should take my whole life into his hands, from the first breath to the last. How blessed I am, we may say it, as we think about life as a whole. Again, we may say it as we think about present troubles. We go back to the psalm, back to David, back to his troubles, back to what prompted his words in the first place. He has these cruel and powerful enemies, and they're out to get him. What is his comfort? My times are in your hands. Not theirs, yours. And it speaks peace to his soul. You can imagine an onlooker being tempted to say, not much evidence is there of the Lord's blessing in David's life when things are as dark as they are. But you see how his word changes the picture completely. His times are in God's hand, and it changes the picture for us with regard to our own troubles. The God who is too wise to be mistaken, who is too good to be unkind, has all things in his hand. Yes, he has ordained trouble. He has permitted hard things to enter into our lives. But the Bible would remind us again and again and again that the God who has done this is no fool. And nor is he a God who is without heart. On the contrary, he is love, and he is leading us to glory, and the path along which he is taking us will take us at last to the celestial city, and he is resolved to bring us there, certainly. And we may wonder to ourselves why he should take us on this path, and why we should encounter this difficulty, and why we should experience this sorrow. And heaven may be completely silent. But we may trust him, because the hands that are guiding and determining everything are the hands that were nailed to the cross of Calvary. And there are just no better hands for us to be in than his hands. So we may say it as we think about life as a whole, how blessed I am. And we may say it as we think about present troubles, how blessed I am. My times are in his hand. And then lastly, we may say it as we think about the future. Back to our starting point, you are my God. That is true of us if we are believers forever. He has bound us to himself in the bonds of an everlasting covenant. He will never cease to do good to us. He will never turn us away from himself, never turn us out of the house. Committed to us from eternity to eternity. And therefore we may take life in God's hands up until now as the template for how it will be from this time on. As they have been, so things will be. Say to yourself, hasn't he cared for me? Hasn't he provided for me? Hasn't he borne with me? Preserved me? Hasn't he heard my prayers? Hasn't he dried my tears? Hasn't he delivered me from my difficulties? My times have been in his hand right till now. And so it will continue to be until I am safe on glory. So yes, we may say it as we think about life as a whole, how blessed I am. And we may say it as we think about present troubles, how blessed I am. And we can say it as we think about the future, about the rest of 2025, and about all that lies beyond. How blessed I am. I have been in the wisest and strongest and most loving of hands to this hour, and it's not going to change. Through all the ups and downs of whatever remains of life, that is exactly how it's going to continue right to the end. And what a powerful message it gives to us for those who are not Christians. I don't know whether there's anyone here this morning who's not a believer in Jesus. It's a very radical step to take, because it means placing yourself in the hands of God. To become a believer in Jesus, true Christian, you are saying, I give myself to you. To be saved by you, to be taught by you, to be guided by you, to be governed by you, nothing less than that. It's a whole of life commitment, nothing short of that. You cease to be your own. Through Jesus, you become God's man, God's woman, God's boy, God's girl. That's a huge step to take. What will happen if you take it? What will life be like if you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, at times it will be hard. And David's struggles here in this psalm, they have their counterpart in the life of every true believer. The Christian life is not an easy life. Our brother was praying for believers in Nigeria, a place that comes at the top of the list for scenes of persecution, terrible persecution for God's people. But all the way through, the Christian is able to say, how blessed I am. I'm in the best of hands, the wisest, strongest, most loving of hands. All the way through to the end and on into eternity. And so I would urge any of you not yet a believer in Jesus to give yourself unreservedly to Jesus Christ. You've nothing to fear. You've everything to anticipate. Your times will be in His hands, and there are just no better hands to be in than His. Let's pray together.